Thursday, February 19th, 2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today on the program, we're in the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 6, looking at verses 1 through 11 with a message titled, The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
You notice how nothing ever seems to be going that well on the earth. Nothing seems to be going smoothly. Liberties are taken. Economies continue to go up and down, ebb and flow, and fall apart at times. Wars really can't be stopped. You know, it's anything could happen tomorrow with regard to war. World War III could break out any moment. We live in fear, don't we? The world is gripped by fear.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
I invite you to turn tonight to the last book of the Bible as we're working through this book, Revelation chapter 6. And tonight, we are considering together the first 11 verses, the first 11 verses of Revelation chapter 6. This is the word of the Lord, beginning at verse 1 of Revelation 6. Now I watched when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come," and out came another horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth, so that people should slay one another, and he was given a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come," and I looked, and behold, a black horse, and its rider had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and wine." When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come," and I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And its rider's name was Death, and Hades followed him. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by wild beasts of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, "O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. And there ends tonight the reading of God's word. Well, what we have seen so far in our study of the book of Revelation is that it is a book that is helping us to see things the way that we should, at least from a heavenly perspective, from God's perspective, and reorienting, if you will, our thinking. And last time we were shown a vision of the true king, weren't we? We were shown a vision of heaven. We were shown a vision of the throne and the glory there. Around the throne we learned things that and were encouraged to join that heavenly multitude as it is worshiping, as they are worshiping in heaven, are encouraged to join in and to realize we are a part of that. We are a people who belong there. We are people who are headed there, no matter how hard it is for us in the present. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's where Revelation 5 left us. The work ultimately has been done. Heaven is secured for us. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. He has redeemed us to God by his blood. He's made a place for us. We belong there. Well, as we move on from Revelation chapter 5 and 6, sometimes we're not sure of what the whole plan is as we're still here on the earth in struggle. Isn't that the case? I think it's helpful to remember a little bit about what society is in pursuit of in this world. Think of our founding documents. Our founding documents say things like, we want domestic tranquility, the right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those are good things. We of course, have set up things on the earth to make it go well. We have a United Nations, don't we, to stop wars, to bring peace. At least they try to. There's a great focus on the environment, you know. No matter how hard they try to bring this on the earth, you notice how nothing ever seems to be going that well on the earth. Nothing seems to be going smoothly. Liberties are taken. Economies continue to go up and down, ebb and flow, and fall apart at times. Wars really can't be stopped. You know, it's anything could happen tomorrow with regard to war. World War III could break out any moment. We live in fear, don't we? The world is gripped by fear. They want tranquility. They want peace on earth. And we join in with that. Of course, we want peace on the earth. We're afraid if things were being taken from us, aren't we? We're worried about what we see on the news. We live in fear of economic destruction. We live in fear of jihadists. We're wondering where it's all going to go with Islam. We're wondering what the Muslims are going to do. Is it true, everything that we're hearing? Isn't there a little bit denial going on? Did you see last night? Conflict, conflict, conflict. What kind of havoc is coming tomorrow? And we don't really know how to process all of this. We've had it so good. Something like what we just sung out from Psalm 59, maybe we cringe a little bit, don't we? Do we really face these kind of things? Are there dogs at bay coming after us, snarling about city gates, hungering for us as their prey? We've had it all pretty good if we admit. And because of that, this is a little bit confusing for us, Revelation. It was a little confusing for the Christians of the first century too. If you understand what I'm talking about, you'll understand in the first century that Rome had promised what was known as the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome, of blessing and prosperity if they bought into their ideology. They would live well in Rome. They would be protected. They would be provided for. They would have what they need. They would get lands. They would get a good life, a happy life. And as these Christians now were facing things happening, they're crying out to Rome, this is not us, this is not fair, we're facing persecution. They wanted the old Rome back. Things were changing. They wanted things the way that they used to be. How do we process a mess? How do we process changing times? What's really going on? Well, that's where Revelation 6 really helps us tonight, because it is now unfolding for us the plan that is happening, God's plan on the earth. What is God doing? Is anything happening? And Revelation 6 is giving us perspective. Revelation 6 is giving us encouragement that we need to understand why, if the Lamb has conquered, if the Lamb is seated on the throne, if Jesus is reigning, as we just sung out about, why does the world continue to be such a place of violence? Why are there so many bad things happening on the earth? And how do we live in the midst of that? What do we do in the midst of all of that? How do we handle that? And that's Revelation 6 tonight, that is showing us how a certain plan is unfolding, helping us to be sober-minded in thinking about things. This is, remember, the scroll that was handed to the Lamb who was worthy, and Jesus was the only worthy one to open this scroll and to loose its seals. Well, the Son of God then here, as was presented last time, has received all, remember he said after he had finished his work, all authority has been given to me, go therefore. He is worthy, he has conquered. And that's what we have before us. Our problem is that Revelation, where we're challenged, is that Revelation is showing us the kingdom of God, its purposes and its goals and fulfillment is often absolutely different than the kingdoms of this world who stand in opposition to the king. It's really important. Who stand in opposition to the king. Revelation is showing the kings and kingdoms of the earth as they are in their worst forms in opposition to the Lord and his anointed. And if we confuse the blessings of belonging to God's kingdom in this way with what the world is offering to us in this antagonistic state, this book will make no sense. Revelation 6 is telling us, look at how things are unfolding before us a little bit differently. Let me help you with that tonight. That's Revelation 6. So that you don't fall into despair. So that you don't panic when you see things in the earth. So that you don't stand back and say, this is all going to hell in a handbasket. What am I going to do? That is not how the Lord wants you to respond. Revelation 6 is saying, don't respond that way. Revelation 6 is a great encouragement for you. So that's what we're looking at, how history is unfolding before us. This is not something just in the future. Dispensationalism looks at these horses as something just in the future. That is not what is happening. This is something that is happening now and will continue to the end. John is being shown the things that are coming to pass. In fact, all the way to chapter 11 now, we have two sections that run parallel to each other that are meant to show us God's plan unfolding. And in the middle of each section is you have these series of judgments that are happening on the earth. And then this dramatic, as one pastor called, interlude of God's reassurance to his saints. I'm going to protect you through it. I'm going to keep you through it. I'm not going to lose you in this mess. You can be encouraged that way. His people, he will care for them through all of the turbulent times that happen on earth. So each section is moving to the ultimate comfort of Jesus coming back to get his bride. So that's what they're moving toward. Well, tonight we begin this first section in chapter 6. The last scene, the Lamb has been seated. He's taken the scroll off the right hand of him who sits on the throne. He's taken the scroll. And now the focal point in chapter 6 is Jesus himself is now loosing these seals. He's worthy. He has authority. He has dominion. He's the king. And that's where we pick up. So in verse 1, that's what we read. Now I watched when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, come. Come. That's not an invitation to John. If you look at this carefully, as soon as Christ opened up the seal, he is giving a call to one of the cherubim. Around the throne, the four living creatures, and what's happening? One of them then gives a summons, come, come up here. Come. Who? Well, meet the horsemen. That's who's being summoned. Come. The cherubim, by the will of Christ, written on the seal, have summoned, in this first section, a horseman to go out into the earth and to perform the judgment of the seal. The imagery that we're getting is that these riders are riding now in the earth. So what's being shown to you here is really not as hard to figure out as you may think. Jesus is the worthy one. Jesus has all authority. And Jesus is unleashing judgments in the earth. That's not what we're used to hearing about. That's not what we're used to thinking about. But that's why Revelation really helps us in the midst of this chaos, doesn't it? Matthew 24, Jesus said these things so plainly, you can't help but to think about it. Jesus had just told his disciples that the temple was coming down, and they utterly panicked, remember? And they take him out, and they sit over the Mount of Olives, and are looking over the beautiful Kidron Valley, and they're worried about it. When are these things going to come to pass? When will these things be? And I want you to remember what Jesus said. First thing, take heed that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And then you're going to hear of wars, rumors of wars, don't be troubled. All these things must happen. The end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. Revelation 6 is telling you why. Horsemen are riding. Horsemen are riding from the throne. Horsemen have been sent. They've been summoned. Jesus, in the middle of Matthew 24, said all these things are the beginning of birth pains. If you were to categorize the things that Jesus said in Matthew 24, you come up with these things: deception, conflict, famine, death. Those four things. And Jesus explains those as birth pains to the end, to the final judgment that is to come, when he finally would come. But it was in the midst of that that Jesus' great concern for his people was, and he said to his disciples, but I don't want you living in fear in the midst of all this. I don't want you alarmed in the midst of all this. Don't be alarmed. These things have to happen. I don't want you alarmed. So his eye was on helping his people. His eye was on helping his disciples through it. I don't want you deceived. I want you to be protected. I want you to understand. I want you to think about these things. But you need to know that certain things, he said, have to happen. They have to. And we stand back from things and we don't quite know how to process it, do we? Doesn't Jesus want us all to have peace on earth? Doesn't he want there to be no wars? What of earthquakes? We shiver to see economic destruction and what happens when an earthquake hits a region. Are we blaming the devil for that? This is exactly what the nations of the world are all trying to stop, aren't they? How many movies have we seen some guy, is it Bruce Willis, who flew up into the spaceship and went up onto an asteroid that was going to hit the earth, and he's going to stop that asteroid from hitting the earth, isn't he? Going to drill in the middle of the thing. How many movies are all about stopping and averting the destruction that's about ready to come? And man's going to rise up and do it. He's going to stop everything that's a threat to the planet, isn't he? All of our movies capture this. Just go look in Hollywood about all the natural disaster movies that Hollywood's heroes have stopped. It's really something. Well, Revelation 6 is giving us this perspective. In verse 2, we read, I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given him, and he went out conquering to conquer. What we have here are four horsemen sent out into the earth to execute judgments. Judgments. Some have said that the first horseman is Jesus, because it's so similar to the description of Revelation 19. But I don't believe that's the case, because the first horseman belongs to the other horsemen here that are all sent out to implement some kind of specific judgment in the earth. I want you to notice this first one is all about conquering. You'll notice the emphasis there, conquering in the earth. So he comes, the cherubim summons him after the seal, after Christ has opened the seal, he comes, and there he was sent out into the earth, conquering to conquer. He has a bow. It's fascinating, as I was reflecting on this and thinking about all the history of conquest. Think about all the history of conquest. I have my most difficult time with this particular writer. I really don't know what particular form of conquest this is. If you asked me about conquest and its very forms, and you says, well, what do you think this is? I would say that this particular form of conquest has something to do with what Jesus first alerted us to in Matthew chapter 24, having to do with deception. But I don't know. I don't know. I know this, that Even though we live in a day where the gospel is being published and good news is going out, we have to remember the other truth that's rarely preached in our day, that Romans tells us in chapter 1, that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So there are judgments happening now. The particular judgments of Romans 1 are giving people over. Deception. I was thinking a little bit of the Old Testament in this regard, in whatever way conquest happens, of that prophet Micaiah. Listen to this. Then Micaiah said, "Hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by, on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, 'Who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead?' So one spoke in this manner, and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, 'I will persuade him.' And the Lord said to him, 'In what way?' So he said, 'I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets.' And the Lord said, 'You shall persuade him and also prevail.'" Conquest. "Go out and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you." God used a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophets who came as an angel of light to execute judgment on Israel because they refused his word. This is 1 Thessalonians 4. "Because they did not receive a love of the truth, that they might be saved, for this reason God will send them strong delusion that they may believe the lie." Did you know that deception is a judgment? Deception's a judgment. It sometimes confuses us. Look at how widespread deception is. That can be a judgment. Next comes the red horse. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come." Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. War will be addressed in the fourth horse, but notice this, he's bringing conflict. He's bringing division. He's bringing sword. This red horse is sending out these things into the earth. It's something to look at all of the sword happening in the earth right now. Look at all the conflict. Look at all of it. A black horse. The third living creature says, "Come." And what happened? A black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand, and a loud voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius and three quarts of barley for a denarius, but do not harm the oil and the wine." What is that? He's hitting the scales. What do I mean? A denarius was a day's wage, and a quart of wheat was enough for one person for the day. A quart of wheat for one person. What did the horseman just do? He hit hard inflation, 800%. Meaning all the people's labor would raise just enough.
That's all the time we have for you today here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Be sure to tune in next time for part 2 of this message. Thanks again. Until next time, God bless.